Amen, amen, amen. Bwana asifiwe. Look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor you're looking good. Better than yesterday. And tomorrow. You will shine. In Jesus' name. Sparkle, sparkle, sparkle. Meta, meta. Shiny, shiny. Where? Especially on a nice day like this. Let's give God a big hand. Amen. Amen. Please be seated briefly. Today we want to launch the reading plan, the Bible reading plan, and we have a short clip we'd like to show you in a moment. Media team, please.
We invite you to be part of our daily Bible reading journey. Reading the Word of God on a daily basis is very key to the believer's growth and spiritual well-being. Those of us who have joined us in this journey over the years, you have so far read through the books of Genesis to Revelation at least once. This year's Bible reading plan is topical in arrangement. We have selected common topics that are applicable to all readers, but we have further selected some topics to minister to the youth, to the women, and to the men. Therefore, this year's Bible reading plan has three modules. The green one is for the youth, the pink one is for the women, and the blue one is for men. Pick a copy today as you exit from the service, or visit our Connect 10 for a copy. You can also contact this number for an online copy. Be an empowered world changer. Read your Bible daily. God bless you.
Amen. Just to find out if you are listening, ladies, what is your color? Amen. Men, what is your color? Hallelujah. You said it so well. Just let me hear that voice again. Your color is? Did you hear that voice? Blue. The men are ready. And the youth? The youth? But do we have youth in this service? Amen. Yes, Alex Button and the rest. Hallelujah. So please connect. And the Lord will bless us. Pastor Kiniti, thank you for preparing this. We bless the Lord. So we want to read the scripture. Shall we stand? We are reading Hebrews 11, verse 8 to 12. Hebrews 11, verse 8 to 12. Again, this month, we've been talking about empowered vision. And the character for the month is Abraham. And we want to read this portion in the New Testament. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who are heirs with him on the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. This is God's word, and God's people say, amen. Shall we be seated in God's presence? Let me pray. Father, we thank you for your word, always such a blessing. When we read it, when we hear it preached, when we meditate on it, when we pray it, what a blessing. The Word of God is living and active. And now, Lord, even as I share it, may the living Word of God be made alive to us. Those watching us online, those in the sanctuary, in the pavilion, in the overflow tent, we say thank you. All glory goes back to you. Be with your people. Be with your servant as he opens his mouth to declare your word. Thank you for hearing our prayer, because we have prayed in Jesus' name. And God's people say it. Amen. Amen. Let me say thanks again for those who came for the anointing service yesterday. God did an amazing work. Why don't we appreciate him and just say thank you? Amen. God is a good God. And the Holy Spirit is our helper, is our comforter, is our strength, is our teacher. And may he continue to do that in this season. I want to share today about living out the vision. Tell your neighbor, living out the vision. You see, the vision is in you, but the vision needs to be lived out. The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, living out the vision. Abraham was given a vision, and now he had to live it out. And let me tell you this, that sometimes you can get a vision, but living it out can be a challenge. God can give you direction and say, I'm taking you this way. But then living it out on a daily basis is a challenge. But I want to thank God that this month we've been talking about empowered vision. And God is going to give you eyes to see what no man has seen. God is going to give you dreams that he's going to actualize. And so keep believing, keep visioning, keep walking and working out this vision. And I've just put three statements that will help us engage this message today. Number one, instruction. Number two, location. And number three, desire. Number one, instruction. Number two, location. And number three, desire. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 says this about the instruction that God gave to Abraham. So let me read that again. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, did what? Obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Instructions are usually given not to be analyzed, but to be what? Obeyed. As simple as that. But sometimes in our Christian life and the way we've been cultured within the church, we've been cultured that even when God gives an instruction, it is really not for obedience. It is really for meditation, for analyzing, for synthesizing, for all those things. You do everything but obey. And we were singing that song, Trust and Obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Obeying is not a very easy thing, especially for us, because sometimes the challenge we have is an ego. You have an ego challenge. Sometimes it's just pride. And sometimes it's just ignorance. We don't know. We did not fully catch that instruction. And Moses was given instructions. He began to meander with it. And really was a challenge. And yet God said, I want you to go to Egypt and set my people free. Now see what Moses said as I get back to Abraham in a moment. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. And we were talking about Moses yesterday and the encounter he had with God. May God give you encounters this year in Jesus' name. Now listen to Moses. He's been given an instruction and he begins to go around it. Moses answered, what if I go to Egypt and they do not believe me? Or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you. Who told you the Lord appeared to you? What vision is that? Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake. And he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. Now, you know that is a dangerous instruction. Hello? Because if you want to catch a snake, you catch it by what? By the neck. Now God is saying, catch it by the tail. Because if you hold it by the tail, it has a very nice place to maneuver and really strike you. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. You know, what God was simply doing was teaching Moses to obey instructions. Hallelujah. Even when sometimes they feel very crazy. Then the next says this. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Then the Lord said, put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand into his cloak. When he took it out, the skin was leprous. Can you imagine? Suddenly your whole hand is leprous. It became as white as snow. Now, usually you can run away from a snake. Hallelujah. But you cannot run away from your hand. You walk with your hand. Now put it back into your cloak, he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak. And when he took it out, it was restored. Let me tell you this. God can change you, can change your situation like this. I'm saying God can change your situation like this. A sickness can go, boom, gone. That's the kind of God we serve. Your debt can be paid in a day. Somebody better receive that. Those guys who are running away with your money can actually call you after this service and say, we are sending you M-Pesa. Thank you, Jesus. It's amazing that many people owe you money. I hope you also owe people money. But it was restored. May the Lord restore you. God is teaching him to obey instructions. Verse 8 goes on to say, then the Lord said, if they do not believe you or pay attention to the first sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground. So Moses is being prepared to go to Egypt. Abraham was given an instruction to leave his country, to go to another country. And leaving that vision out was a challenge. He was called in Genesis 12. By Genesis 15, God has to talk to him again. So let me read Genesis 15, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says this. Genesis 15. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham. In what? In a vision. And God said, Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. By the way, you need to know Abraham. He was not saying this in a very spiritual way. Hello? He was just as human as you are. So that sentence should not be just read the way I read it. So let me go back to verse 2. God has already said, I'm your shield. I'm your great reward. Now, but Abraham said, Yani God. Yani, you know you are sovereign. Na kuna kitu nafanya. You told me to leave my country. Then you took me to a place and I don't know where I'm going. And sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the servant who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. Nilikutana naye barabarani. Hello? Then keep going. And Abraham said, you have given me no children. Now he's really upset with God. Because God told him in Genesis 12, I'll make you what? A great nation. Some years have passed and nothing is happening. You have given me no children, so a servant in my household with my heir. In other words, sometimes when God is not fulfilling your things, you now want other people to take his place. Abraham was like that. God, if you're not supplying my need, listen, I can go to a Shylock and he can do this thing chap chap. God, machana na mimi. So then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. And then I said, Abram, come on, let's go outside. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Thank God in the next verse. Abram did what? Believed the Lord. And he credited to him as what? As righteousness. At least he felt, if God has said it, ni sawa. But let me tell you this, even after that vision, you know, sometimes we think and say, sometimes our prayers are interesting. Jehovah God, I'm praying. I know if you can just appear to me today, appear to me now, I will believe. If he appears to you, let me tell you this. By tomorrow, if you tell Kiniti that God appeared to you, Kiniti will tell you, what have you been drinking lately? Let me tell you this. God manifesting himself does not help your believing. Believing is a journey you take with God. Believing is a relationship you have with God. Amen? Just like husbands and wives, when you get married, I'm telling you, by the time you trust each other kabisa, it has taken about 6-7 years along the way. Hallelujah. Even though during the wedding you made amazing vows. You know, the vows I tell people to make are very simple and straightforward. Do you, Philip, take Jen to be a lawful wedded wife? And Philip said, yes, I do. Will you cherish and love, uphold, and protect her in good times, bad times, in riches, and in poverty, till whatever happens? Yes, I will. Then when I finish, they say, Pastor, I had something to also say. I said, no problem, you can say it. Sweetie. Sweetie, from the day I met you, my knees wobble, wobble. I allow them to say that because it's nice to say that on wedding days. And then the lady says her own things. Those are nice things. Those are not vows. Those are not vows. Those are just things that these two want to say to each other. Even though they call them vows, those are not vows. Those are just things you allow them to say. You know, if somebody is saying, sweetie, after 1 week, Jen! Jen! We are getting late. Somebody anaji podoa. Yani, you think I'm going with you just like that? They forgot that day when somebody said, sweetie. Sugar. Honey. And you know, you said it in such a nice way, the other one just feels, Marriages are formed not because you love each other so much, the lovey-lovey thing. It's because you journey in faith and trust, and you build that trust. You make mistakes, you fail, you forgive each other, you keep going and going. The generation we have is not a really wait generation. It is a generation that if something snaps, somebody has taken off. They've gone to their mother's place. Now you have to go chase them out of their mother's place and bring them back. It is a long process. Hello. Thank you, Jesus. Some people get shocked They used to take each other to Java. That's what they had makeup. Ladies had makeup. This guy had his best cut. But they get married. The next morning, there's no makeup. The guy wakes up and says, "Niko happy." You have never seen this lady without makeup. Tell your neighbor, it's a journey. Hallelujah. And you don't give up. And that sweetie, sometimes you really get upset with one another. You want to scream at each other. But guess what? It's a journey. So Abraham had to take a journey, living out his vision. And there are times he did not believe God. There are times he then believed. But immediately he also stopped believing because options were given to him. And let me tell you this. Many options will come your way, but keep believing God. Keep obeying his instructions. Listen to what the Bible says about obedience. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. The Bible says this about obedience. The blessings that come because you obey. It says this. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow some of his commands, all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. Obedience, instructions. Jesus said this in John 14:21. Again, talking about obedience. John 14:21. He says, "Whoever has my commands and does what? Keeps them, is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love them and show myself to them." In the New King James Version, it says this same verse, New King James Version. It says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them." The word "keeps" is the word "obey." It is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Instruction. Abraham was given an instruction, and the Bible says he left his country and he obeyed, and he went even to a place he did not go. Much later, as Abraham grew in that faith, he really began to obey God without thinking. Fast forward to Genesis 22. God is speaking to him. Genesis 22, God has blessed him with a son. Isaac has been born. And the Bible says this in Genesis 22, verse 1. Sometime later, God did what? Tested Abraham. And he said to him, "Abraham, here am I," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, can you imagine it was early? Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants, and who else? His son. Immediate obedience. Immediate. Thank God for Abraham. He loved to obey. But now he now believed God, and he knew even if Isaac dies, God will raise him up from the dead. So I want to say this. In this journey of living out your vision, keep obeying God's instructions. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your paths." But let me go to the second one, location. The Bible says this in Hebrews 11, verse 9. When Abraham left where he was and was going to a place he did not know, the Bible says this: "By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who are heirs with him of the same promise." This verse talks about location. So, let me ask you, where was Abraham living? Where was his home? I'm asking, where was his home? Where did he live? So you want me to read the verse again? Okay, go to Hebrews 11:9. All right. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob. So let me ask you, where was Abraham's home? In the promised? And yet he lived where? In tents. Now I want you to get this revelation, that God wants you to live in the land of his promises. Now you may live in the land of his promises, and the land is beautiful, the land is good, yet you're living where? In tents. You know, sometimes you can believe God for his promises, but you are in a tent of debt. You can believe God the promise of healing and restoration, but currently you're living in a tent of sickness and pain. You can be trusting God to give you a breakthrough and that God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory, but you are in a tent that you are so economically disengaged and dislocated that this God does not seem to exist. But let me tell you this, it is just a tent. Tell your neighbor, it is just a tent. Tell your neighbor that a tent is temporal, but there is a city coming. And my city is permanent. But I want to say, continue to live and dwell in the land of promise. Let me go show you some promises that God has made. Philippians 4:19. The Bible says this about the promise of supply. God has made a promise. And he says, and my God will meet all your needs according to what? To the riches of his glory in Christ. Let me read that in the New King James Version there. It has the word supply there. It says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That is a promise. Let me read another one. Psalms 65 verse 11. And it says this. God wants to bless you. It says, you crown the year with what? With your goodness. And your paths drip with abundance. Let me read that in the NIV that we were reading earlier. Verse 11. You crown the year with your bounty, and your cuts overflow with abundance. God is a God of supply. He will supply. He will meet your needs. But that is a promise. But on the ground, you may actually have zero. Hello? But do you know why? It's because God is giving you an opportunity to live out your vision. Don't live. Don't forfeit your vision. Keep believing God. Keep trusting God. Another promise. This is now the promise of enlargement. Isaiah 54 verse 2 and 3. God wants to enlarge your territory. Hallelujah. It says this. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out. You will spread out. I'm talking to somebody. You will spread out. You will spread out. I'm saying you will spread out. To the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. You will spread out. God will enlarge you. You may be living in a 10 by 10 house. But let me tell you this. God will enlarge you. You may be living in a place where many people share toilets. Thank you, Jesus. But God is preparing you, because one day you'll have a house that has 5 toilets. Somebody saying, I don't need 5. I just need 1. You 5 umeenda mbali. But you see, God also takes you step by step. Because if God gives you so much so soon, hello, you stop coming to church. Jehovah, meet my need. Then boom, it comes. So you're busy with everything he has given you. You become Teja Kanisani. Where are you? I'll call you later. I have something Some people call you and you don't want to talk to them. So you say, excuse me, you're cracking. You're cracking. Network. You have now reached a stage of even lying on phone. So I want God to bless you big time, but may he not bless you too fast, too soon. That's why you need to just grow and grow. One time there's a little boy who went to Sunday school and found that they had a teacher, this was in America, who had an amazing mustache. You know those mustaches that people have? So this guy had a mustache and he was a Sunday school teacher. This boy was so mesmerized. And the teacher would be talking and he's doing like this. You know, and the boy is just, this boy is 5 years old. And the boy is just saying, this is. So the boy went home. And the boy, being very spiritual, told my mom, I'm not eating for the next couple of days. And the mom says, why are you not eating? He says, I'm fasting. He says, why are you fasting? I will not tell you. So the mom really had to find out, what is this? He says, I went to Sunday school and I saw this man with an amazing mustache. And now I'm praying that God will give me a mustache. And I'm fasting until it happens. And the mother, being very sympathetic with the boy, said, son, you will get a mustache. But in the meantime, grow up. So look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, in the meantime, grow up. Tell them, God will meet your need. In the meantime, grow up. There's a husband who's feeling very nice telling her, the wife, those words. He's just so happy. Just, Pastor, can you just give me another line? This one I have to tell my wife. So live out your vision. Grow, grow, grow. Because this boy one day would grow. He'll become a teenager. By the time he's 17, 18, by 20, he's already having those hairs. And pretty soon he grows a mustache because it is in his system. He just needed to grow to that level. God is saying, grow up in your faith. These things will come. You'll be able to handle 50,000 shillings. Then another time you'll be able to handle 500,000 shillings. Then another time you'll be able to handle 5 million. Another time you'll be able to handle 50 million. So God cannot just kill you by giving you too much, but you grow and grow and grow. Abraham grew. Somebody saying, I need to grow faster. Hallelujah. God is going to enlarge you. This is another promise about being fruitful. Psalms 92. Verse 12 to 15. I love those verses. So let me read them in the NIV. Psalms 92, verse 12. It says this. Psalms 92. God wants you to be fruitful and bless you in 2023. It says this. The righteous will do what? Flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still be bearing, they will still bear fruit when? In old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no wickedness in him. May that be your portion. Amen. May that be your portion. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I will flourish. Now, tomorrow, and even in my old age. Hallelujah. That's your portion. That's what God is saying. But as when God says, gives a promise like that, he wants you to walk in that land. And even though you may be living in tents that completely say the opposite, keep walking in that land. Hallelujah. Keep walking in that land. There's a promise of security. God wants to secure you. Psalms 91, verse 9. The Bible says this. Psalms 91, verse 9. And these verses are just for you to pick and to put somewhere so that you can read them. Security. It says this. If you say the Lord is my refuge and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him. for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him where? In trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That is the promise of God. Walk in that land of the promise of security. God will sort you out. God will take care of you. The promise of peace. Let me read John 14, 27. The Bible says this. Jesus himself is speaking. This is what he says. Peace, I live with you. You can say it another way in Hebrew. Shalom, I live with you. My shalom, I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Peace. May you walk in the land of the promise of peace. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, walk in the land of promise. Even though you may be dwelling in tents. Hallelujah. And that is why, thirdly, I want to talk about the city. Your desire. What are you looking forward to? The Bible says this, Hebrews 11, verse 10. Hebrews 11, verse 10 to 12. The Bible says this. For he was looking, this is Abraham. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful, who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, this Abraham, who had nothing, and so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. And as countless as the sand on the seashore. He lived out his vision. He lived out his vision. Live out your vision. Those things that God showed you, keep believing. Keep trusting. Let me talk a little bit about some tents and the city that God has for you. Tell your neighbor, there are tents. And they are temporal. But there's a city that is permanent. And God is making it for me. For Abraham, his tent was, he was a wanderer. He was a wanderer. That was his tent. He was wandering and he did not know where he was going. But he kept going. That was his tent. But it was temporal. Today when we think of Abraham, we think of a city. He is the father of what? Of faith. Father of nations. He's the father of faith. Muslims recognize him. Christians recognize him. Jews recognize him. You know, that is the name that he has permanently. And that's why we sing that song these days, Father who? Nobody ever says Father Ambrose. Because I didn't inherit that. But we know, we talk about Father Abraham, had many sons. And that is his permanent abode. He is the father. He has a city. Isaac, his tent was famine, economic challenges. Let me read that very quickly. It says this in Genesis 26, verse 1. That was his tent. Economic challenges, famine. Can I get that? Now there was what? A famine where? In the land, beside the previous famine in Abraham's time. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gera. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him, keeping my commands, my decrees, and my instructions. And the Bible says, Isaac did what? Stayed. He had an economic challenge. He stayed. But pretty soon after that, he had a family problem. There was another tent, family situation. Let me read that very quickly. When the men of that place asked him about his wife, You know, one problem comes, the devil comes with another one. When the men of the place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister." Because he was afraid to say, "She's my wife," he thought the men of this place might kill me on account of Rebecca, because she is. Do you know the husbands who get very insecure because they have very beautiful wives? Talk to me. So Abraham had, Isaac had this challenge. Same challenge. Who do you think had the same challenge? Who? Abraham. You know, there are some challenges that just pass from generation to generation, and they are a problem. By the way, did you know that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all lived at the same time? Abraham was 100 when who was born? Isaac. Isaac got married when he was 40. So look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, it's never too late. So Isaac got married at 40. He was 40 when he married Rebecca. They did not have children for 20 years. Now, who also had the same problem? Abraham. For him, it was 25 years. For Isaac, it is 20 years, which means that Isaac got, they got their children, the twins, when they were 60. Abraham was how old at that time? 160. Abraham died at 175, which means the twins were how old? 15. So Abraham saw Isaac and saw the twins. Saw Isaac, Jacob, you know, and saw the twins, Jacob and Esau. So no wonder God is the God of who? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They lived at the same time. And they had the same issues. But God was still pleased to be their God. Let me tell you this. It doesn't matter what happens in your family. God still is your God. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter who doesn't talk to who in your family. God is still your God. God has not changed. God doesn't shift because you fell out with somebody, you don't like somebody. God is still God. He is not God because of the relationships you have. He's the one who is permanent. You're the one who is changing. God doesn't change. And Isaac had this problem. But what I wanted to say is this, even though he was having economic challenges, having family challenges, the Bible says God was still faithful to him because God was going to give him a city. Now let me show you that city. Verse 12. Genesis 26, verse 12. The Bible says, Isaac sowed and planted crops in the land. And how many years later? The same year. He reaped what? 100-fold, because the Lord did what? Now see what happened. Next verse. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. Verse 14. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. One of the problems of having wealth is that people will start doing what? Hello? So problems never cease, but your God will still be faithful. His tent was economic challenges. His city was prosperity. Another person was Jacob. Jacob's tent was he liked to be a con man. Did you know Jacob was a con man? I mean, he was a con man, always shifting goals. But one day, he fought with God, and God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. He said, you have prevailed with who? With God. You have prevailed with man, and you have also prevailed with God. Ruth had her tent. She was a Moabite, a foreigner. She married, her husband died. Then one day, she went to Bethlehem with Naomi. And in Bethlehem, Naomi, that place, she met Boaz. And her city was established. I want to say this. Your city is coming. Amen. I'm saying your city is coming. Amen. I'm talking to somebody. I'm saying your tent is temporal. Look at your neighbor. You know, sometimes they're very okay, but they are in a tent. So tell them, your tent is temporal. Your city is on the way. Tents are man-made, but this city is God-made. And when God makes it, nobody can unmake it. In Jesus' name. Come on, give God a big hand. Nobody can unmake it. Nobody can unmake it. David's tent was taking care of sheep. His city was being a king of Israel. Hallelujah. Joseph had a tent in a dungeon, in a prison. But the city was coming. He was going to be the prime minister of Egypt. I'm telling you, your day is coming. So live out your vision. Though it tarries, let me read that and then I will pray. Just put it on the screen. Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk. This is the prophet who used to cook herbs. So, Habakkuk. But this is on a light note. By the way, do you know in the Bible, who was the smallest man in the Bible? Smallest. Do you know? It is a man called the Philippian jailer. The Philippian jailer, he slept on his watch. Some of you, you'll get it when you reach home. The Philippian, he slept on his? Yeah, so you'll just get it. So what was I saying before I started that joke? Okay, Habakkuk. All right, the Bible says this in verse 2. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. In Jesus' name. I'm saying keep holding on. That vision will come to pass. The Bible says in Psalms 102, verse 13, about the appointed time, the set time. This is what he says. You will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to show favor to her. The appointed time has come. Somebody better receive that. You better receive that. Yes, come on, let's give God a big hand. So live out the vision. Obey God's instructions. Walk in the land of promise. Desire and look for the city whose architect and maker is God. Shall we stand? Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive one more time. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for this month of January, where we have run with a theme, Empowered Vision. We thank you that, Lord, you have called us in this year to be empowered world changers. And dear Lord, you have given us a vision and you have told us to live out the vision. That, Lord, we shall obey your instructions. We shall walk in the land of the promises you have given to us. Even though sometimes the tents we live in limit us. But God, there is a city that is coming our way. May we desire and not give up and believe that the city will surely become a reality. Eternal Father, we thank you. We continue to declare that we are empowered world changers. The devil cannot change that statement because it is your statement. And Lord, regardless of the situations that some of us are facing, we will still believe the promises of God. We shall still obey His word. And for sure, the appointed time will come. You have already told us that it has actually come. And this is the year that it is going to materialize. So Jehovah God, we say thank you. And Lord, we may be facing all kinds of challenges. Somebody here may be facing a sickness that doesn't seem to be healing. But Lord, we command your healing to them now, in Jesus' name. Somebody is facing an economical challenge. Lord, visit them the way you visited Isaac. Somebody may be having a long-standing thing like Abraham and like Isaac. Many years have come and gone and nothing seems to be happening. But today, Lord, we are saying, may this be that year. May this be that year that you remember your people. May this be that year that you remember and release. Lord, the anointing yesterday was released to break the yokes of the enemy. And dear Lord, I pray that in the name of Jesus, that indeed, even as we walk into the month of February, we shall see breakthroughs that we have never seen before. Open doors that we have never seen before. The heavens above us will be completely open. And dear Lord, we thank you because of the testimonies that will come, because we have believed your word. So we say thank you, and all glory goes back to you. And if you believe this prayer that God has answered, you better say, I receive it. I take it. It is my portion. And the devil cannot take it from me. I am a winner. I am a conqueror. I inherit the promises of God. In Jesus' name. Now give God a big hand and tell him thank you. Thank you. Amen. 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 Remember to pick your reading plan as we leave. Also remember that we still have these copies. If you have not gotten a copy, I really pray that you will invest in this book and the planner, because it will guide us and focus our vision this year. The Lord richly bless us. I want to bless you now. Just stretch forth your hand as I command God's blessing upon you. Did you receive anything from the Lord?
Yes.
In Jesus' name. If I came to you and asked you, and even if when you're going outside and somebody says, what did Pastor say? I hope you not tell them he was talking about Shylocks. Hello? I said that, but I said much more. But remember, I said, underlining factor is this: live out your vision. It will come to pass. So let us bless. Let me bless you. Father, what a joy to be in God's house. Since the 1st of January, which was a Sunday, 5 Sundays, you have faithfully brought us here. And we want to say thank you. And now, Lord, even as we engage and enter to the month of February, we're entering that month with joy and celebration, because he who began a good work in this month of January will continue it and establish it even in the coming month. And so, Lord, even as your people leave this place, may I pray that they will meditate on this word. They will think through it. They will obey your instructions. They will know your promises and walk that land. They will look forward to the city that is coming for them. And so, Lord, I bless them with this blessing. And I declare to you now, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May the Lord bless your going out. May the Lord bless your coming in. May the Lord bless your sitting down and your rising up. May the Lord bless your families. May the Lord bless your children. May the Lord bless your career. May the Lord bless your business. May the Lord bless the works of your hands. May the Lord bless your feet, that they will take you to the right place. May the Lord bless your eyes to see his visions. May the Lord bless your ears to hear his word. May the Lord bless your mouth to speak oracles and blessings. May the Lord bless your entire being wherever you go this week. I bless your day. And I declare that your Monday is blessed. Your Tuesday is blessed. Your Wednesday is blessed. Your Thursday is blessed. Your Friday is blessed. Your Saturday is blessed. And Sunday you're coming back with a testimony. Let's give God a big hand. Come on, come on. Let's give God a big hand. Amen. 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 Look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And you, Ayani, you, seriously, you shall dwell in God's favor, in God's goodness, in God's security, in God's abundance, and there's nothing the devil can do about it. You are blessed to be a blessing. You are favored to be favorable. You are lifted to lift others up. You are a blessing. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's appreciate the worship team. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Have a great week.